and destruction, because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. Do people want to hear that abortion's wrong? Do people want to hear that homosexuality is a sin? Do people want to hear that God created this earth in 6 days, six 24-hour days, not vast eons of time, as evolution would teach? What do they call us for those things? Idiots. Fools. Mean. Don't care about people. Don't love. Hear that in Jeremiah? So maybe we should just stop. Since it's so hard and people don't want to hear it, people don't like what we have to say, maybe we should just stop. Some churches have. Let's listen to Jeremiah. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name. So see, there's the thought, right? People don't want to hear what I have to say. They don't like what I have to say. They call me an idiot. And so, you know, maybe I'll just say in my mind, I'll just say to myself, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to say these things anymore that God wants me to say. He says, then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it, for I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side, denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall, saying, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed. And with an everlasting disgrace, they will not be forgotten yet. O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous, who see the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have set forth my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the soul of the needy from the hand of evildoers. What is Jeremiah saying in all that wonderful language? He says, when I think about not talking, when I think about not telling what the Lord wants me to do, it burns me. I literally hurt. I can't hold it in. It reminds me of the apostles, right? We cannot help but speak about Jesus. Can't help it. It's going to come out of me. Or I can't stand it. My conscience gets so bad. I know I've got to say these things, whether people want to hear them or whether people don't want to hear them. Otherwise, I'm a miserable person. He says, they may, notice, folks, you're going to lose some of your best friends too. Did you catch that? My best friends are waiting for me to fail. My best friends want terrible things to happen to me. But he says, Lord, I'm working for you. That's all that matters. He said, there's going to come a day when they fail, right? When every knee, let me tell you what, everybody that says the things that they say about us and about what we teach and about what we preach from God's holy and divine word, there's going to be a day, like we mentioned earlier, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and we will be right and they will be shown to be the fools. I don't care. And Jeremiah didn't care, because he knew God was right. Look at what else he says. I mean, if you don't think Jeremiah had a tough time, listen to the rest of it. You know, he's having a tough time, but he's not turning on God. He says, cursed be the day when I was born. It sounds like Job, doesn't it? Job said the very same thing. He said, cursed be the day he was conceived. Cursed be the day when I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, a baby boy has been born to you, and made him very happy. But let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without relenting. And let him hear an outcry in the morning and a shout of alarm at noon, because he did not kill me before birth, so that my mother would have been my grave and her womb ever pregnant. Why did I ever come forth from the womb to look on trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame? Who thinks Jeremiah had a tough ministry? Curse the man that even said that my father had a boy. Had a tough day. I've had tough days. Spent in shame and trouble. Holding to God's word in an evil world is not easy. Discouragement can be a part of it. And Jeremiah's discouraged. There's no doubt about it. And discouragement will be a part of it. And we'll get down from time to time, just like Jeremiah got down here. But let me tell you what. The plain point is, he got down, but it didn't stop him. He kept right on going. Our Lord in Gethsemane got down. But it ended with, "Thy will be done." And that's Jeremiah 2. So we see the power of Jeremiah. Very quickly, looking at Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet in captivity like Daniel. He had tough things he had to go through. At one point, God says, "Go say, thus saith the Lord." And then he says, "I want you to sit there and say nothing for a week." And the people knew he was a prophet. And they get mad because he won't talk. Point being, God really has nothing to say to you. You know, you're reaping what you sowed. What you sowed, you got it. You had your chance to return and you didn't, and now you're going to, you know, reap the full benefits of your iniquities. He would then lay on one side and then on the other for the iniquities of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. He'd be a laughing stock because he's laying out there. He's built a little wall around himself, got a little brick, says Jerusalem. He's cooking a little bit of bread using cow manure. You know, when God said to use human feces, he's like, "I can't do that. I'm sorry. That's just one thing Ezekiel said. I just can't. I can't go there." God said, "Fine, use cow manure." And he would cook his little bread using cow manure for the heat. He'd drink his little bit of water. Did that for over a year. To make an illustration of the iniquities of the people and the destruction of Jerusalem. He was told to eat scrolls, right? Ezekiel had an interesting ministry. Ezekiel 3, though, I think is a powerful place. I won't read it for the sake of time, but I made you a watchman. You go tell the righteous that they should sin not. That's our responsibility, folks. It is our job to tell people not to sin. Now, they have to choose what they're going to do with what we tell them. But we need to understand that we can't make anybody do anything. And God even tells Ezekiel, your problem or your job has nothing to do with their response. I just want you to make sure you tell them what they need to know to make an informed decision. And then they'll answer for their decision, but there will be no blood on your hands. Ezekiel 37, I mentioned a few weeks ago in a devotional, is the one where he saw the great valley of dry bones. And last of all, Daniel. Daniel chapters 1 through 6 are those stories that we know so well, right? Daniel chapter 1, Daniel will not eat at the king's table, neither will Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as a result of their faithfulness, they actually are healthier than the men that ate at the king's table. And they prove their point in a very righteous way. Chapter 2 is the dream of the great statue, the one that had the gold head and silver shoulders and arms and the brass belly and thighs and the iron legs and the clay feet mingled with iron, being all the kingdoms that would come, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and then even the weakened Roman Empire. Then that great stone was cut out of the mountain, right? And it rolled down, it crushed them all, and it grew to fill the earth, being the church. And he gave that great interpretation of that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Chapter 3 is the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their refusal to bow down. Then we see in chapter 4 as well, Nebuchadnezzar humbled when he is made to crawl around like a beast of the field because he had become so proud of what he had done and gave God no acknowledgement. Chapter 5, we see the handwriting on the wall, don't we? Belshazzar, meeny, meeny, tickle, you farson. You know, your days are numbered. In fact, they're over. He would die that very night. And then chapter 6 is Daniel as an old, old man when he was thrown into the lion's den. I love these pictures of Daniel in the lion's den. He looks about 16 years old. He was at the end of his life when he was thrown into the lion's den. So we see all those great chapters of story. And then we go into chapters in Daniel of great prophecy. Impressive prophecy. One that I just want to bring out is chapter 8, and the large horn broken and replaced by four horns, that being Alexander the Great. And after Alexander died, then he was replaced by four of his generals, the Ptolemies, the Seleucids, the kingdom of Macedon, the kingdom of Pergamum. You know, even when Alexander the Great conquered Jerusalem, they brought him in and showed him the book of Daniel and showed him where Daniel spoke of him. It impressed him. He liked the thought that he had been talked about before. And he gave them a lot of special privileges. I plan on doing a class on Daniel in preparation for a mission trip next fall to Africa, where I'll teach Daniel to preaching students in Arusha, Tanzania. And so next year we will look at Daniel very close. We'll look at those prophecies and see what they have to say. And I think that will be an interesting study for myself, and I hope an interesting study for you as well. Well, you know, the message of the prophets is always basically comes down to a simple thing, because there's a reason those guys had to go out and preach, right? They didn't, you know, you didn't need a prophet when everything was going good. Problem was, the people weren't living right. You know, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, but your sins and iniquities have separated you from your God. Folks, if you're not a child of God tonight, that verse is talking about you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul told the Romans. And so your sins and your iniquities have separated you from God. His hand is out there. It's reaching for you. Don't slap it away. Take hold of it. It will save. God can be the God of our salvation. Yahweh saves, as Isaiah's name meant. Reach out for it. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. If you're a child of God and you've turned away like the Israelites have turned away, you have committed spiritual adultery. You have given yourself to someone else when you have been given to God. Return. And like the prophet Hosea that we'll see in 2 weeks, he is more than happy to take you back as if nothing's ever happened, to forgive you of your sins. We can assist you in any way in accomplishing those things in your life. Won't you let us as we stand and as we sing?